Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A valuable sapphire discovered in the rough enters the spotlight. Hi friends, this is Naomi. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is May 7th and joining me again in the studio are Winnie and Howie. Welcome back.
Thanks, Naomi.
Hey, Naomi. Hello, listeners.
Hi friends. Okay, so we were talking yesterday. We began by learning about the story, the history of the Black Star of Queensland. So first of all, Winnie, what is the Black Star of Queensland?
Well, we find out that the Black Star is not talking about a movie star, but an actual sapphire or a very, very big gemstone. And it was discovered in Queensland, and we learn about the really humble beginnings of how the star or the stone was found.
Right.
Right. In fact, this stone was actually used as a doorstop. So they didn't even know what they had. They saw this dull-colored fist-sized stone, and they're like, ah, it can be used to hold a door open.
Right. I kind of love these stories, but I think they're a little bit dangerous because people start looking around their homes and saying, what do I have that might be valuable? There's even TV shows about that.
Oh, that's true. Antiques Roadshow, when people bring in their antiques and experts would come to see if it's really a treasure or not.
Yeah. They'll say, I think it must be worth at least $3,000. And they say, no, it's worth $10,000. Or actually, it's worth $300,000. Mm-hmm. You know. But most of us probably do not have a sapphire holding our doors open.
That would be great. I want to go home right now and check.
All right. So this family didn't know what they had, and one man helped them discover just how valuable this doorstop was. Who was he?
That's right. We meet Harry Kazanjian and his family, and we learn a little bit about how they had to escape France to go to the States because of the Armenian genocide. But then there was a twist in the story because Harry got left behind, and because of that, he learned about the stone cutting trade.
Right. He learned how to sort of free a gemstone from within the rock that it's found in. So this takes a lot of skill and a lot of precision. But he had a talent for it, didn't he?
Right. We learned about the term knack. He had a knack for envisioning a gemstone in the rough, and he apprenticed with his stonecutter uncle. So he stayed in Paris before he left Paris. He stayed there for a while, and he learned from his uncle how to polish and cut gemstones.
Right. But eventually, he and his brother started a business and began buying gemstones from all over the world, including this doorstop. And Kazanjian thought that there might be something special about it. Right, Winnie?
That's right. He saw this big stone, the size of a fist, and he saw a copper glimmer. And now, listeners, you might need to learn a little bit about gems to help you understand this article. But when you see this glimmer, it usually means that there might be something there or different crystals to create the star effect that you would find in these particular types of gems.
Okay, so he bought this stone because he thought he saw something special. He paid probably somewhere around $18,000 for it, which, of course, in 1947, that's still a lot of money. But we'll find out how much it became worth later. Today, we're going to learn exactly what Kazanjian had to do to find this sapphire in the rough. So let's begin with our first part of the reading on page 19.
Over months, Kazanjian worked, gently carving away to create a dome. I could have ruined it 100 times during the cutting, Kazanjian told a Los Angeles Times reporter at the time. In 1948, the Black Star of Queensland debuted in New York. At 733 carats, it was far larger than the Star of India, a 563-carat blue star sapphire previously known to be the largest. It was valued at $300,000, but the Kazanjians declared emphatically it wasn't for sale.
Okay, so we know that Harry Kazandrian went to Australia, found this fist-sized stone, guessed that it might be special, and brought it back. But was that the end?
Well, there was actually a lot of work to do before Kazandrian realized that this was a precious star. And we learn a little bit more about the star and how that happens in the sidebar there.
Okay, sure. So it took him months to gently carve away to create this dome to reveal the star. Let's look back on page 18. A few years ago, this Black Star of Queensland was displayed at the Royal Ontario Museum in Canada. We'll learn a little more about that later. But the curator of gemstones there talks a little bit about the Black Star of Queensland. What makes it special?
Right. The visual star effect in a sapphire is captivating. It's enchanting. You can't take your eyes off of it. It follows you as you move around the stone. And it takes the talent of an experienced jeweler or stone cutter to cut around the stone in such a way to reveal the star.
Right. We mentioned yesterday that this is called an asterism, and it's just an optical effect. In other words, the way you see it, the way the light shines on it, creates this star. But it needs to be cut in the right way for you to be able to see it. And if it's not cut correctly, you won't see it, and it wouldn't be valuable at all. And if we go back to our article on line 20, we see that Harry Kazandrian definitely agrees that this does take some talent.
That's right. He says, "I could have ruined it 100 times during the cutting." And he was talking to a Los Angeles Times reporter.
Okay. I liked that line because I think it really shows just how dedicated and how meticulous he is. He's very careful about his work. He wanted to really make it the best it could be. So he spent months working on this, and I guess it turned out, because we see that in 1948, something special happened.
Well, the Black Star of Queensland debuted. It made its first appearance in New York.
Okay. And then we get some more specific details about this stone.
That's right. At 733 carats, it was far larger than the Star of India, which was another blue star sapphire that was only 563 carats.
Okay, what is a carat, Howie?
A carat is a unit for measuring the weight of precious stones. So if you go to a jewelry store and you want to buy, whether it's rubies or diamonds, they're always measured in carats.
Right, and most of us would never experience anything bigger than about a 12-carat size stone.
Or 1 carat even.
Yeah, if someone says, 20 carats, you go, right. Whoa. Mm-hmm. But this is far, far, far beyond that. Now, of course, it's spelt differently than the vegetable, so just keep that in mind. It's C-A-R-A-T. So it is 733 carats. It is huge. But the Star of India is actually very, very famous, maybe still more famous than the Black Star of Queensland. Do you have any ideas about why?
Well, sapphires, like we mentioned before, is actually more commonly blue. Mm-hmm. And so this is the largest blue sapphire. But here, we're finding out this is a black sapphire. So, I mean, I can see just because of the color differences,
sure,
that's why.
I think the blue is maybe still more, kind of more striking.
Right.
Also, I think it's important to point out that these aren't just the biggest sapphires, they're the biggest star sapphires. So the biggest ones with this special asterism that exists in there. So how much was the black star worth?
Well, it was valued at $300,000. And if you remember from yesterday, Kazandrian only bought it for $18,000.
Right. So that sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like Mr. Kazandrian could have sold it and had a nice early retirement, right?
Oh, yes. But Kazandrian's, the family, not just him, declared emphatically or very strongly it was not for sale.
Okay, so this may be worth a lot, but they are not selling. At least not yet. Let's learn more.
Small screen role. Michael Kazandrian, Harry's nephew, spent his summers and weekends as a child at his uncle's shop, trying to emulate his craft on less valuable gems. He had watched in awe as his uncle polished the black star. One day in 1971, He saw an opportunity to show it off when a Hollywood manager called him with an odd request. "Can you put a few million dollars of jewelry on Cher?" Sonny and Cher were taking a stab at something new, a television variety series. In their premiere show, they planned a sketch where Cher would be decked out in valuable gems. After its brief television fame, the stone sat out of public view for the most part, making only occasional appearances at private charity functions. It has never been worn since.
Okay, so this stone, the Black Star of Queensland, was owned by the Kazandjian family and these jewelers. It was already looking pretty expensive, but they said, no, we don't want to sell it. However, we're learning more about this family business, and we're introduced to another member of the family. This is Michael. Who is he?
He's Harry's nephew, and he spent his summers and weekends as a child at his uncle's shop trying to emulate his craft on less valuable gems.
If you emulate someone,
you try to copy them, you try to imitate them.
Okay, so he watched his uncle work, and he took gems that weren't worth as much, so if he made a mistake, it wouldn't really matter too much. And he tried to copy what his uncle was able to do. And he already knew what the Black Star was, right?
That's right, because even as a child, he had watched in awe, or he was very impressed, when his uncle polished the Black Star. I can just imagine a little boy looking up at his uncle and polishing this great big stone.
Yeah. Another thing I think that's kind of interesting, just as a side note in this article, is that even though usually when I think about jewelry, I think about women liking it,
right.
In this article we see a lot of men who are really, really intrigued by gemstones. All of these members of the Kazandjian family, the Spencers, we'll meet at least one more coming up. But this young kid, when he was growing up, gained that love of gemstones, Michael did. So one day, as he was sort of taking over the family business, one day in 1971, he saw an opportunity to show it off. So it had been sitting in their shop or in their vault, I guess, and now it's time to shine, I guess. What happened? Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now it's the Black Star's turn to be in the spotlight.
Right.
So a Hollywood manager called him with an odd request. Can you put a few million dollars of jewelry on Cher?
That is an odd request. It's a little unusual. First of all, who's Cher?
Well, Cher and, at the time, her husband Sonny, they were a very famous, I guess, married couple that sang, and they had a variety show in the 70s, and they were very famous, and Cher was known for being kind of, I guess, extravagant and also she had a very strong personality.
Yes. She's still famous. She's been in several movies and I think her last big hit was probably about 10 years ago or so. But people still generally know who Cher is. But Sonny and Cher as a couple were pretty groundbreaking with some of their work. They did some unusual things. Here we see that they were, at the time, taking a stab at something new. Winnie?
Well, when you take a stab at something, listeners, don't get the wrong idea. You're not stabbing or hurting anyone here. But it's just another phrase to say you are trying something new.
Okay, so what were they trying?
Oh, they were trying a new television variety series. And in this show, they planned a sketch or a little portion of the show where Cher would be decked out in valuable gems.
Okay, first of all, the premiere show.
It's the very first show. It's almost like a debut show.
Good. So they planned this sketch or this little skit where Cher would be decked out.
Decked out. Listeners, if you know that song, Deck the Halls, it's a Christmas song. That means they put a lot of decorations. And it's the same idea, to be adorned or to be placed with valuable gems.
Okay, so she was wearing them, basically.
Yes.
And I read a little more about this in the original. She was supposed to be surrounded by security guards, and and Sonny was supposed to be trying to get to her, but because she's got this expensive jewelry on, he can't get close because of the security guards. So it's kind of cute, but she was wearing the Black Star on this show, so everyone saw it, right? It had brief television fame.
Right, and because they were so famous, a lot of people, I'm sure, tuned in. They turned on their TV sets and watched the show. So It was the Black Star's, I guess, moment to shine.
Mm-hmm. No one had known what it was before. It was sitting in obscurity until this television appearance in 1971, and suddenly it was in the spotlight. So it was well known after that moment. People recognized it. But what happened after that?
Well, in the deck of this article, we said that it weaved in and out of the spotlight. And so after it had its time to shine, actually it went out of the public view for another long period of time. And so that was really interesting because it became very famous, but it was also put away right afterwards.
Okay, it says the stone sat out of public view for the most part. First of all, I think it's fun to think of stone sitting. But of course, it just means that it was situated out of the spotlight. For the most part. Why do we say for the most part?
Because it still made occasional appearances at private charity functions, but it has never been worn since.
Wow. So it has never been worn publicly since Cher wore it. It sounds like she's basically the only person who really showed it off ever in its history. So it must be interesting. I think one of the things that makes gemstones valuable is their rarity. And what do I mean by that?
Meaning it's very unusual, it's very unique, you do not see it very often, and most people would never be able to even wear it.
Right. And so when you think about something that is not only extremely unusual and rare, but also that has hardly ever been worn, it makes it very, very special and intriguing. And we see that some other people have been intrigued by this. Let's continue with our last reading for today on page 19.
Love at first sight. Jack Armstrong says he was a 5-year-old when he first laid eyes on the Black Star. His father took him on a trip to Washington, D.C., where the Kazangians had loaned the stone to the Smithsonian for display with the Hope Diamond. Armstrong said he breezed past the diamond but became fixated on the sapphire. It took my breath away. In 2002, Armstrong was introduced to the Kazangians and invited to see their collection. When he saw the Black Star, he couldn't believe he was looking at the stone from his childhood and immediately wanted to buy it.
Do you believe in love at first sight, Howie?
I used to. But I think Jack Armstrong definitely does.
Okay, but not love like romantic love. He's talking about love for the Black Star.
That's right. Jack Armstrong, we're learning about another piece of the puzzle here. And we meet a man named Jack Armstrong, but before he was a man, he was a 5-year-old boy who first laid eyes on the Black Star on a trip that his father took him to in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so he is another character in this story who arrives as a 5-year-old. He was on a trip. We've learned already that this Black Star was put out of the spotlight for the most part, but it was put on display sometimes. And so where exactly did he see this?
Well, he first laid eyes on the Black Star at the Smithsonian, which is a very famous museum in Washington, D.C.
Okay, the Smithsonian, actually there's a collection of museums. If you've been reading Studio Classroom, I believe we had an article about the Smithsonian museums in there recently, where the Kazangians had loaned this stone to the Smithsonian Museum, probably the Museum of Natural History. And we know it's been on display there since then. This was a special trip, and it was on display next to something else pretty famous.
Oh, yes. We're learning also about the Hope Diamond. Listeners, you can see a picture of this on page 19. And the Hope Diamond is, I believe, one of the largest diamonds in the world. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's very, very well known. And again, probably worth a full article as well. But people, I would say more people are familiar with the Hope Diamond than with the Black Star. Probably because the Black Star has been so out of the spotlight for so much of its existence, whereas the Hope Diamond has been celebrated and put on display pretty much nonstop. So The black star was on display with the Hope Diamond, and I'm guessing most people would be pretty amazed by the Hope Diamond and might not really notice the Black Star of Queensland. That wasn't true for Jack Armstrong.
No, we learn in the next sentence that Armstrong said he breezed past the diamond. He walked very quickly past it, almost didn't notice it. Mm-hmm. But he became fixated on the sapphire.
Okay. He breezed past whatever, Hope Diamond, I don't really care about that. But he became fixated on the sapphire, which took his breath away. Why was he... When you're fixated on something, what does that mean?
When you're fixated on something, it has your complete attention. You can only look at it and you can only concentrate on that one thing. And so he was fixated on this sapphire.
Yeah. And I think as we continue reading the story, we'll discover that Jack Armstrong has continued to be fixated on the black sapphire ever since that moment. But we jump forward a few years here. In 2002, what happened?
Well, Armstrong was introduced to the Kazangians and was invited to see their impressive collection of jewelry.
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, you can Google the Kazangians online and take a look at the photos of their collections. And there are some beautiful, beautiful pieces, some interesting ones too, such as the tiara that Madonna wore to her wedding and so on. But this black star was part of their collection at the time. And so when Jack Armstrong saw it, well, he got pretty excited.
Yeah, he couldn't believe he was looking at the same stone from his childhood when that first visit to the museum, and he saw it again, and he immediately wanted to buy it.
But the Kazangians had said that they weren't going to sell it, right?
Right, they were very emphatic about it, but it didn't matter. I think Armstrong, he first laid eyes on this black star when he was 5 years old, and he was fixated on it, and now he saw it again. I think he just really wanted it.
All right, we'll discover what happened with the rest of the story tomorrow. It gets pretty dramatic, so I hope you'll come back for the conclusion. For now, let's listen to today's feature.
Welcome to the Search for the Treasure of Queensland. Two men are on the journey of a lifetime searching for the sapphire, the Black Star. Although these men may encounter many difficulties along the way, they are persistent. They have dreamed of finding the great sapphire since they were children. Now, let's join them on their incredible journey.
Hey, mate, isn't this great? It's like a real treasure hunt. I feel like I'm in a movie or something.
Yes, but we must focus, John. We must be fixated on our mission, and that is to find the sapphire. Now, hand me that flashlight.
You're right, mate. We must find that sapphire before anyone else. And we know there are others on the way. So I suggest we split up. That way we can cover more ground.
Oh, come on, John. You know that I have a knack for finding things. I think we're better off if we stick together. Plus, if we have company, we'll have a better chance of fighting them off.
You got it, mate. Let's just try and find that black star.
Okay, let's take a look at our map. We know that this area is sparsely populated. So that means it will be a little difficult to ask people questions about the star. So we will have to rely on our senses. So first...
Hey, mate, did you hear that?
Hear what?
That sound. I think we got visitors. Quick, let's hide in that old shack over there.
Okay, let's just keep quiet for now, and maybe they won't know that we are here.
Where's the flashlight?
Shh! Quiet! We can't let them hear us. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'll open the door slightly to take a look at how many people are out there. You just stay back and be sure to stay quiet.
Got it, mate.
Okay, it looks like there are four of them. Wait, maybe there's five. I can't quite tell. Maybe... When they get closer, I'll... Hey, John, what are you doing? Turn off the flashlight.
Oops, sorry, mate.
I think they saw us. It looks like they are coming this way.
What are we going to do?
Join us tomorrow to see what happens on The Search for the Treasure of Queensland.
Whoa.
Sounds like some crazy adventure down under, doesn't
Crikey.
It? Wow. Okay, well, there's a lot of reasons to come back tomorrow. Between the drama of the feature and the drama of the story, I'm sure you're all on the edge of your seats to find out what happens next. I hope you'll come back tomorrow, but in the meantime, I hope you'll also join us online.
That's right. We have a Facebook page. Be a fan. Go to www.facebook.com/studioclassroom, and you can become a fan, and you can make some comments, and you can also read what other fans are reading.
Yeah, I know. I like to comment on there sometimes, and it's just interesting to sort of connect with all the different people in the studio classroom community, the teachers and the readers, and it's pretty fun.
And don't forget our topic talks. Go to our webpage, www.studioclassroom.com, and find out what we have to say on all the articles.
And, of course, English Corner. Please Yes. give us your thoughts as well. And if you have other questions, I know there was a lot of vocabulary so far in this article. And so you may have a few questions, a few ideas about the turns of phrase, or maybe you just want to share something that you've learned with other advanced readers. I hope you'll go to the English Corner and share there and just be able to encourage each other and learn together. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Naomi.
Winnie.
And Howie.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.